What is it? It's a multi-year effort that we identify and assess our wetland resources. What is it? Just so you know, Baldwin County, for those of you who don't know where we are in coastal Alabama. We're a large coastal county. We've got 1,600 square miles. The anecdotal information. And it's a big, big county. We're on the Gulf of Mexico. We've got 1,600 square miles of streams and rivers. And 30 counties wetlands. Mm-hmm. So we've got about 500 acres of wetlands, more or less. And the color's kind of bad, but these are pretty pictures I threw in just to give you a background of some of the wetland types we have. This is a saltwater marsh, which we have fringe wetlands. We have these unique systems called Brady ponds, which are depressional wetlands in Baldwin County. They're called Brady ponds because depressional soils. And you can't really see it very well at all, but the you know, this is the depression right here. But they're isolated right now. We've also got fringe wetlands that are common to the area, that are in the air there, and those are also their flats. And then we've got a large expanse of delta riverine wetlands, with delta bottom and hardwoods. And then down on the beach, we have these depressional interdunal swales that are real neat wetland systems. And so why are we doing this project? Baldwin County is fast growing. They're acceptable within the 10-foot contour. State of Alabama has no wetland regulatory at all. We're growing fast. Between 1990 and 2000, population went up 42%. And it's projected between 2000 and 2010, it's going to go up another 100%. So about 140,000 now, so we're going to get 250,000 by 2010. Jeez. And we have to be fishing and tourist industry and this. And one of the reasons, I almost deleted this slide, so I don't need it all in for your entertainment. What's the reason? These are my bosses. Okay, and I've got to put information, give them information about wetlands, and make them understand it. And we had four major over tasks that we've done. The one in the red is the four. And what we've decided to do is we've created a GIS wetlands data layer. We call it the Baldwin County Digital Wetland Layer. And it locates the types, the location, and also what we call a functional capacity. How these wetlands are working out there. Are they highly functional or lowly functional? And we use GIS to do that. And I disagree. I think GIS is a good analytical tool. So I think we've developed something that works that way. So the first thing is we have our Baldwin County Digital Wetland Layer. And it's derived from NWI sources. Also, USGS did a couple of the plots that Charlie Storrs didn't certify, so we have those data plots. And then we edge match them to create a continuous countywide coverage using political boundaries, not watershed boundaries. Mm-hmm. The next step that we did with the help of Mobile District is we went on an intensive validation project where we wanted to know how accurate these NWI data are in comparison to what's out there on the ground. And the Mobile District stepped up to this project and they said, sure, we'll help you. And we went out and we devised a statistical study and we went out and checked 138 sites. And most of this project was asking people to go on their land. You know, and we did that. And then these are the data, 85.6% accurate in representing jurisdictional wetlands. And that includes excluding Brady Pond. So as far as a planning tool, since we have no regulatory ability to regulate wetland anyways, this is an excellent, excellent thing. We're real happy with this as being able to identify where our wetlands are. So that was our next step. And then the next thing we did is we took our NWI data, with Baldwin County Digital Wetland data, and we wanted to create an HGM classification for this data set. And as you know, and I don't know if it's like this in the rest of the country, but NWI and HGM, you can't, there's no one-to-one correlation. We have PFO1s that can both be flat and fringes and depressionals all at the same time. So we developed a system. We actually had some help with Herb Berquist a long time ago. We met him in the Atlanta office and worked with Mr. Piner and with Bill trying to come up with a way to do it. We kind of used some of your methodology, but then we just sat down. We just threw it all out the window and we sat there and we said, okay, if it touches a river, it's going to be riverine. You know what I mean?
That sounds good.
Because we're working within 1,600-mile county, so I did this validation project, so I know what the wetlands look like out there in the field. But so, you know, as yellows are our flats, riverines are all green, depressionals are red. And then I think the next slide is this thing that I told you about that I inadvertently had. curves in my thing. These are our percentage based on the 5 8-digit HUCs we have in the county and political. We have the, you know, these are the different types mm-hmm. and these different curves. That was where I brought the point earlier yeah. that as I go from watershed, these dramatically change mm-hmm. based on the different areas that we're in.
Right.
But this just gives you a big, and a lot of these are because we're at political boundaries and then have a small part of the watershed that's in there. So, mm-hmm. for example, this one, you know, this lower Alabama wetlands is all up in the delta, so that's why we have 98%. And I think my next slide doesn't show you that, but we have a slide of the watershed later so you can see what I'm talking about. So the next thing is that we had to create this remote functional wetland assessment model, which we did, and that's our thing. And what we did is we had long, tense meetings with advisory committees, people that sat around and tried to, you know, figure this stuff out. But we had several questions based on HEM type. And the first thing is that we took all our fringe wetlands and we said, look, these are all important. Okay, we had, well, I think we also didn't feel like developing a model for it, but these wetlands are, you know, there's not that many. We've got erosion issues, fish habitat important, you know, based on these functions. And, you know, there's a limited extent, so we decided that those were all important automatically. And then we had three other models, the flats, riverines, and depressions. And we do have slope wetlands in our county, but there's no way right now to use our picking them out method that we use to determine those. Hopefully there will be someday. I don't know how we do that. But our next thing, and this is just a conceptual model to talk about how we, a conceptual diagram to talk about our model. We had our Baldwin County digital wetland layer. And then the process was this AGM classification that I talked to you about before. And then I just mentioned this, that we had fringe wetlands that went down to conservation wetlands. We had our riverines, flats, and depressionals, and all of them went through this GIS model process to come out with these three types of outputs.
Mm-hmm.
So conservation, wetlands, and enhancement. Just give an overall view. This sort of, I could probably just not even talk to, just give you this slide, because these were the criteria we used, okay, in this process. You know, the size of the wetland based on our NWI data, the presence of ditches from the NWI data, the surrounding land use, which we use from LLCD. However, because of this project and it's been such a success, and I've been able to talk the seven county commissioners and into, you know, how excited they are about this project, we've contracted right now to get a real detailed land use coverage for our county. So mm-hmm. this model exists, all we have to do is pump the new data in and then come out. So that's why I said it was an ongoing, project's finished, but it's ongoing. So as we get better data, we can continue that. At the time we did the project, we didn't have digital soil data. We have it now. It's coming. Well, it's sitting on some desk at the RCS in Daniels, but it should be here. Water regime. So these are just the criteria that were all used. And using these layers, and these were the three outputs that I explained to you earlier, you can see these are graphics here of the actual model in process, going through it. And then here's the watershed map that I said. We divided each HGM class and we divided it by each 8-digit HUC mm-hmm. in our county. So those were the watersheds that we used. And this slide is just some of the examples of the questions that the model asks every wetland polygon within our county. So based on four functions that we determined, which is the functions were wildlife habitats, water quality improvement, groundwater recharge, because those grazing ponds do recharge groundwater, and flood control, flood storage during high rain events. And then, for example, is this wetland polygon in our 100-year floodplain within our FEMA data? And those are just some examples. What is it in a wetland protection area? Is it a big wetland? So if it was tied to flood water storage and it stored more water, so it would have more of a function, higher function. And just so you know, before you see the data, I put this in here because we had certain questions, but in order, we had the advisory committee sort of calibrate the model before we actually ran it and developed it. And our conservation wetlands, for it to come out high, it had to get a lot of questions. And I want you to say that we had pretty stringent criteria. Mm-hmm. So it'd be greater than 80% or 61% for flats and greater than 50% for depressionals. To sort of calibrate it and mm-hmm. tease out the data. So it showed the right thing. And here's our results. You show, you know, our conservation in red, enhancement and restoration. This is our GIS data layer. And these are the data here.
is that 88% of our wetlands came out as high, wetlands that were highly, you know, suitable for conservation, and only 1% was low. And this just shows through the HGM type, and this is pretty self-explanatory. Fringe never ran through a model, so that's why it was 100%. So we have our riverine wetlands were about 88%, which is a higher thing, and then there was little enhancement, which is kind of the middle, and then restoration was down at the bottom. And then you can see that yellow is the depressional that came out higher. Well, our depressional wetlands are these small isolated grady ponds that might be cut by a road or might have the surrounding land use of high intensity urban development. So our data sort of match what's on the ground. Our next phase in this endeavor is to actually do another statistical study where we field test this information, you know, the results from our model, and do graphs or determine some type of field assessment to see, you know, how well it correlates. But this is just a close-up of watershed of our data and the results of the model. And as you can see, you know, these long, isolated, these are the linkages in the pearl necklace, as you said, near the red is the wetland suitable for conservation. And then you can see these yellows with their enhancement, and then the greens, which might need some attention because they're further out. They might have been cut by a road, or they're smaller. They're not in the flood zone. There's other issues that come up on those. And then this is just another one. You see a large, this is a Lillian Swamp area that's down there. All that came out high. And how we plan to use it, and how we use it today, is just for a non-plant, it's just for a planning, non-regulatory standpoint. We produce maps like this, and I want to stress again that the map thing is the key. You just give people maps, but we produce maps for our planning commission. So actually, we do have a huge proposed subdivision. Where's Region Lake? All throughout this area right here. And then we give the planning commission the maps, and we show the red polygons, the green polygons, and the yellow polygons, and they know all the results because they've heard me talk about all of this. And so they know, well, that's the wetland that's suitable for conservation. Why don't you guys go over there? So this is all used within our world. And they're actually, and I'm like, don't give it that much credit. And again, the other success that we've had in this project, and it kind of happened by accident, and we still do it, but in our county, the way to win everybody, you know, or get everybody on our side, especially the public, is we give people free maps. We give people free maps of their property. You know, so if somebody's coming in and they're looking to buy this piece of property, they want to know what the wetlands look like on it. And this is a map that we've made for the public. Of course, we have a disclaimer saying that the court is only going to determine that. This is just a plan. Small print. So if somebody wants to buy this house, they know that they're going to have to get an agent permit to cross the wetland, the house on the backside. And then the best advantage of it is to get the free map, they got to talk to me for 20 minutes. And I'll go through and I'll say, well, maybe you shouldn't buy that property. That's going to be really difficult. Or I know the state's interested in buying that property for conservation. You need to stay away from that. Somebody else made a bid. You know, I won't lie to them, but I've got it in the right direction. So it works out real well. I have to say that this free map thing is really what gets the information out there. You know, and then our maps now have different colored wetland symbols for the wetland suitable for restoration, conservation, or enhancement, the high and the year low. And so then this is what we've got. All the regulatory agencies have the data, and they use the data. Also, all the engineers and all the consultants have our data, and they use the data. And so that's another, you know, they all learn about it. We have a workshop and show them about it. And, you know, we have a program document that we help hopefully influence levels. And then the next step in this project is to continue to make these free maps and get the information to other jurisdictions, to municipal governments, because we're a county. The little cities can have the pretty maps for their decision making, and then hopefully we just continue to raise the consciousness. And the acknowledgments, this would not have been done strictly with Baldwin County funding, with my own shape of war. So we really need to thank the State Wetland Program Development Grant from EPA, and also the Corps of Engineers for their help with the validation project. And also we've had other interagency support. Hopefully we'll continue.
Yep.
That's all.
Thank you, Kara.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.